jam. Scared clues. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool, or also youtube.com/themanapool, or, once again, mtgcast.com. Sorta, kinda. It's more...
It's there.
It's more just the RSS feed. Like, the site is there, but you should probably use the RSS feed. Which, there will be a link down in all the stuff.
Yeah.
In theory. Anyway. So, I am Chewy, as it says directly under my name.
Actually over there, yeah.
Yeah, over there. And then the one who doesn't know where to point is Squee, who it says under his name. And then the one over there just nodding, who knows where to point but refuses to, is... Oh, no, no, I was wrong. He doesn't know either, is Clues.
I'm the only one who actually has to know.
It's over there. Hey, I got it right! So, hello, guys.
Hi.
Clues, are you laughing at the lyrics to the Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Yes, I am. It's amazing. I just love it.
Just like that. All right, so let's...
Thank you so much, Pinball Witch, in the chat. Anyone who is not following along with the stream live is missing out on a good 30% of the comedy, because it's in the chat.
More of Stark's around.
Nah.
All right. So, you guys doing all right?
Yeah, I'm a little thirsty, but I got some water, so...
Oh, I hear that's a good solution for that. Water is a good solution.
Is it locally sourced?
Or is it a good...
Oh, wow.
Which part of it is the water?
You know, technically, alcohol is a solution.
Well, I have some of that right here.
Yeah, don't drink that, though.
No.
I know what you've got right there. Do not drink
91% isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to drink.
Yeah, don't drink that.
So, tell me this. Do I get brighter when I do this?
When you do what?
Yes. I mean, so now you're dimmer.
Yeah, because I swap back. Apparently the show notes are just that bright.
Yeah, so...
They are.
I noticed it when I alt-tabbed over. I haven't had this problem before.
Does it do it for me, too? So if I go from here to here, is it noticeably brighter?
Like, if you're looking at it, it's noticeably
brighter. Just slightly. Mine was way more noticeable.
Well, I've got my monitor dimmed a bit, so...
Okay. Well, you're going to know when I'm looking at the show notes, because I still need to.
We have show notes? I mean, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So...
I'm now playing with minimizing my show notes, too, so it's... Ah, wrong button.
Welcome to Show Notes, the show.
Yes, where we talk about...
We discuss show notes and best practices for show notes, which we don't follow.
We have a Google spreadsheet thing.
We do, yes. Our show notes are a Google Doc, essentially.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's get to it, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
We have a few things to talk about this week that have happened since we recorded last week.
That's how that works.
That's how time works. So, first up, Nexus of Fate has been banned on MTG Arena in Arena Standard.
Because that's how time works.
Which...
What, you didn't see the obvious joke there? I mean, it's...
I did.
Take an extra banning after this one.
So, Arena Standard is the best of one format, not best of three. It's still legal in best of three. Because reasons?
Because Arena Standard is not standard.
It's Arena Standard.
It's Arena Standard.
Yeah.
We haven't overloaded that term at all.
So, There's a wall of text here about why they chose to ban it this way.
Yeah.
So they ask, is the card too powerful? And I think they decided not terribly, so they had to move to the second question. Is it disrupting normal play?
Yes.
And the answer was, well, yeah. But only in best of one. Why they didn't ban it in best of three, is because they want to keep it as close to paper magic as possible?
Yeah.
Why they printed it in the first place? I don't know.
Sell boxes?
Yeah.
Directly?
Yeah. I don't know.
Didn't work on me. Maybe I wasn't the target audience for Nexus
of
Fate.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they acknowledge in here that there are certain things that you can do in paper magic and that you can do in Magic Online, that's sort of implied, that you can't do in Arena, like state a loop and have it happen a bunch of times. You can't do that in Arena. So it just takes forever.
Yeah.
And that's not good. We've run into one of the issues that Arena will have to either eventually be adjusted to account for, or they may steer away from things that work that way in the future just to avoid this headache again.
Yeah, the fact that in paper you can just say, well, Clues can walk up and say, I'm going to need you to advance the board state.
That's right. I'm going to need you to make a play.
Well, I mean, with Nexus of Fate, you are making a play, but...
Okay, sure.
Yeah. But if you're not doing anything at all, then that's a problem. And this really comes down to the... You're just recasting Nexus every turn because that's the only thing in your deck. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, in normal play where you cast it two or three times in a row to take more turns to dig further into your deck or whatever, like, that's okay. As long as you're... You know, there's something else to do and you're trying to get to that, but when your library consists of three or four copies of Nexus of Fate that you just cast every turn so that your opponent never gets another turn, but you don't have a win condition, your hope is that they will get pissed off and concede. That makes you an asshole, and it means you're doing it wrong, and if they see that, they're gonna they're working on ways to figure out people that are doing that and like giving them bans.
Yeah. But it is admittedly drawing attention to a greater flaw in the system that is either going to have to result in more Arena best of one, like Arena standard only bannings, or adjustments to the system to allow for this kind of thing under better circumstances. And that's going to be a problem that I'm sure they're already trying to figure out the best solution for.
Yeah.
I have a philosophical question.
Okay.
It may be beyond the scope of this discussion, but, I mean, it's a thing. We may drop it. Given this, do you think this will affect card design decisions going forward? In other words, will you see fewer things that could be abused in a loopy sort of way on purpose, not because loops are bad or dumb or we hate loops, but because it would not work right on Arena, so let's just not do it.
I think I would expect that.
Yeah.
Because they changed the way they made paper cards around Magic Online before. And they've changed some things so that they work better in Arena already.
Yep.
Like, because Arena's not dealing with the giant backlog of old cards that did this all the time, they kind of have the ability to just do that going forward. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, assuming they don't sort out another way around this kind of problem, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they got rid of cards that relied on someone walking up and saying, I need you to do something different. Because if a computer can't tell and you're not going to put in a chess clock, then here we are.
Yeah, and the problem is that it's legal within the framework of Magic Arena, even though it's not legal within the framework of playing Magic. Because the computer running things doesn't know the difference.
Yeah. It's not like you can appeal to a digital judge to look at it, and
yeah,
I don't see that ever happening. So, yeah.
So I think that I'm hoping this is just a short-term solution until they figure out how to ban the underlying or how to fix the underlying problem.
Yeah.
Well, what they should have is, do you remember back when, God, was it Windows 95 launched? Do you remember Clippy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could we have Clippy pop up and go, I see you're playing Nexus of Fate. Would you like me to ban you and send you an email saying you're a jerk now? With yes and yes. Those are
Except
your two choices.
Instead of Clippy, we could get like a little chibi. Oh. We could get the Jace Marionette pop up and be like, hi!
I think it would be funny if it was like a little chibi Tybalt popping up because he's the pain artist. And you, for people who don't know who Tybalt is, it would just be this little dapper devil with like a shiv. And I mean, that would get your attention.
Yeah, it would.
There you go. But anyway, so.
That one's free, Wizards. You can have it.
I've seen a lot of ideas kicked around, like for one that sounds okay until you think about it real hard, is that for every turn you take in a row, your actual play clock is shorter. Which, if integrated properly, could work. Like your fourth turn in a row is only half the length of your first turn, so that it's not just an endless loop.
Yeah.
But they would have to set that number kind of high to get around people playing it properly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think the other issue is that if we're going to operate on the assumption that this will mirror the behaviors of paper magic when we don't have those things in place, then we're going to continue to have other corner things like this, because the inability to just declare a loop and go with it cuts off an entire chain of how Magic the Gathering has worked in the past.
Yeah.
And like, we've had infinite and semi-infinite combos in Standard many times over the years, well past the, you know, even the start of Modern. I mean, you had an infinite combo in like Shadowmoor Limited and various other times. Like, these are things that are there.
I mean, we had Crazy Cat Lady until we didn't.
Until we didn't. But, like, if they're going to have these cards still printed, like, I don't expect them to perfectly avoid all recurring loops. That's why there are rules in the game acknowledging what to do with those. I think that if it comes down to you click a button, you demonstrate a loop, and then you pick a number of times that you do it, then sure, do that. But for these things that involve variables where you can't do that, it's just going to be a problem. And, like, conversely, in Magic Online, where you had to actually win with a chess clock, you just didn't play decks like that as often. Like, it's a fundamental difference that digital will probably never be able to account for. So I could see them trying to design around it, since they'll never win that fight.
I can see that. So, moving on top of that, if you have Nexus of Fate in your account on Magic Online, you'll be getting, or will have gotten, I don't know how when all this happens, but you'll be getting, oh, here it is, Mythic Wild Cards equal to the number of Nexus of Fate you own. You're not losing the Nexus cards, but you get wild cards in addition. So, hey, cool. And they're also changing the in-game store bundle that used to come with Nexus of Fate. Now it comes with Omniscience.
Which, even more science.
Which seems weird.
I think it was because it was another blue mythic from the same set, so it was easy to do.
I guess, yeah.
But yes.
Also of note, the wild cards that you will receive, there will be no in-game notification of this. You will just get them. So
correct, yeah.
Don't look for the message. It's just going to happen.
Sort of like when you enter in any of those codes that they give you. It just is like, all right. And it doesn't tell you what you got in that from that code. It's just like, cool. So. Still in beta.
The other thing of note, they mention in this banned and restricted announcement for MTG Arena, when it comes to future bannings and restrictions, we intend to follow the cadence set forth by Wizards Play Design Team for both traditional formats and Arena Standard whenever possible. So it's not like every week you're going to have to go, okay, what'd they ban this week? They're going to try to not do that. Try.
When in doubt, don't be Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's good advice.
Oh, here it is. Okay. So, yeah, there you go. If you're playing Nexus in Best of One, don't, because you can't. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know when this was supposed to take place. Is it already? Effective date, February 14th. Okay, yeah, so...
Yep, that happened.
The day that it was announced. Okay, cool.
Yep.
All right, so... That was that. Moving on, there's another thing, and that's judge shirts. Now, Wizards has made it perfectly clear that they are pulling away from all tournament stuff except for the Mythic Championships and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, last year, right? Last year? Whenever it was, they handed off GPs to Channel Fireball events. That worked, so now they've decided to pull back away from everything. Coverage, judge shirts, that's all.
Yeah, I think the judge shirts thing may have a slightly different but related underlying cause. So, do you remember a couple of years back when there was a lawsuit about
judges? Hey, I found out that was actually settled.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was. There was a motion to settle due to, oh god, there was a link sent to me that
due to issues.
No, it's not a Magic Online thing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
There was like the class wasn't properly set. No, that was the other. That was the other lawsuit. I can't remember what the actual thing was, but there was a motion to settle. And apparently the lawyers got the vast majority of the money like you'd expect.
That's how that usually happens. If you ever stumble across that link again, you want to ship it my way? Because I'm actually interested in how all that shook out.
If you go to the Manipul Discourse server and do a search for lawsuit, I think you'll find it. It was a link that Cap sent. It was a link to the...
Well, I will do that right after I make this point.
Okay, make your point.
Yeah, so there was that lawsuit a few years back that was about... judges essentially claiming that they were de facto employees of WotC, and WotC was like, "Oh no, you're not. We don't want it. We don't want any of that. Thank you very much." And it was around that time that judge compensation stopped coming from WotC, and judge foils kind of fell apart. I mean, they still exist, but not in the form that they were originally.
Still curl.
They probably still curl. I cannot actually. I can't tell you for sure, but I'm going to guess. Yeah. I suspect right around the time all of that started to go down, someone somewhere said, you know what we need to do? We need to stop giving them uniforms, because there were lawsuits at McDonald's about that, that if you were provided a uniform by McDonald's, those uniforms were originally provided to the franchisees by McDonald's corporate. And so there was a lawsuit that essentially said that the employees of a McDonald's franchise were therefore employees of McDonald's, the corporation, because McDonald's provided uniforms. And I suspect some lawyer somewhere went, that thing you're doing, stop doing that. Like, seriously, I need you to stop doing that.
I can see that argument.
And so I feel like there was, and I'm sure Wizards getting less and less involved in the actual running of tournaments does have something to do with the shirt change here, but I think this is also a facet of it.
Well, it does note also...
Go ahead.
Well, it also notes that Wizards is still going to manage Pro Tour staff shirts.
Right.
And I haven't looked closely at Pro Tour staffing, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was something they were willing to take a little bit closer than...
Well, in fact...
run events.
When you are on staff for a Pro Tour... at least in the past, I never was, but I know people who were, you essentially signed a contract to do that with Wizards. You were contracting directly with Wizards to do it.
Then that makes sense.
And so that is a completely different beast. I do know one thing for certain, and that is that we will probably never actually know the details of why this decision was made. That's what I'll say.
All right then.
But anyway, the functional stuff that you need to know, if you are a judge, you probably already heard this and you already know it, and you don't need us to repeat it. And if you aren't a judge, but you kind of want to know anyway.
Ooh, links in the show notes.
Links in the show notes, but the cliff notes. The black judge shirts, they're still there until they run out, because they still have some, but as soon as those are gone, they're gone. And shirts from then on will be handled through Channel Fireball. Channel Fireball is going over to a polo style shirt. They won't have the Channel Fireball logo, though. Incidentally, they state that directly. And judges will need to purchase the shirts themselves. So Channel Fireball is not just going to give you shirts. You got to buy them. But you won't be required to wear them. You can instead wear shirts that are similar to them. Look, it's...
Is this sort of like the Target thing where as long as you're wearing something vaguely burgundy, you're fine?
Yeah, so as long as you're wearing khakis and a red top, everything's cool. Yeah, it'll be something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but until I see more details, I'm going to assume that you actually have to wear the ridiculous shades and fake mustache that LSV had a long time ago.
Nice.
That's just my assumption as to what the dress code is until they tell me otherwise.
And as always, more details to come.
Da-da-da.
So, yeah. I don't think this is a big... Wizards just trying to get rid of judges. I think they're trying to shift their relationship with judges so that future lawsuits like that will have zero foothold.
Yeah,
which is understandable.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I do have an objection to it. Not a fan, just in case you're curious. And it's not because of tradition, and it's not because I was deeply in love with the Judge Blacks. My complaint is that polo-style shirts almost never have pockets. And at least the Judge Blacks had a pocket that you could put pens or a notepad in, which was nice.
They did.
This is particularly important for, believe it or not, this is particularly important for women judges, because most women's fashion have no pockets in the pants. So at least they had the one pocket in the shirt, and now not as such. This was the very first thing that Dr. Mrs. Dr. Clues pointed out when she heard about this.
Mm.
So
I'm kind of hoping that the actual dress code they put together for judges are going to be like Chewbacca sash bandolier things.
Ooh.
Filled with like, you know, a bunch of lands and Sharpies for when they need to invent new cards, and like 50 pens, of which they'll have three at the end of the day and never find the rest of, and some actual just like taser spray that will spray tasers at people, just because I think every judge wants that to exist.
Ooh, and smoke bombs so they can disappear at will.
That'll teach Will.
You know what the taser's actually for, right? It's for if you catch anyone putting trash in the table tents, because those are not trash cans. The trash can is literally, like, right there. It's three steps from you, buddy. Could you not cram those into the table tents?
They won't be able to once you shut down their nervous system with electricity.
That's right.
So this is a thing that I hadn't seen until just now. The question is, what does the shirt look like? We don't know yet.
Not a clue.
We've been told that there will be a color change in response to feedback that the Judge Black tends to blend or blends in with the crowd and decreases visibility, which
that's fair.
Makes a lot of sense now that I'm seeing that.
Yeah, my assumption, neon green.
So,
but I grew up in the 80s, so.
Where that was everywhere. Yes.
It was. Yeah.
That would have blended in to the crowd in the 80s.
In the 80s, that's right.
Having worked conventions and large events, typically at the start of this, you're doing highlighter colors. You have the bright tacky orange, bright tacky yellow, bright tacky green, pink after people have that argument. Oftentimes at various intervals, they would swap to different colors just so that it was easier to tell who's current versus who simply has that shirt and has been paying attention. So it'll be interesting to see what they go with. I wouldn't be surprised if, even if it doesn't have a logo, they went with Fireball colors. But we'll know when we get there.
I'm going to suggest, since we're worried about them blending in, that the new judge outfit be blue jeans, a black hoodie, and a shoulder bag.
Ooh. Not sure if Judge Assassin or everyone else in the room. You know what? Sequins. They need sequins.
Although I can
I
say
want
that
to wear sequins.
A few of the times when I was working an event and we were concerned that we thought a player was up to something shady, you could, although judges quote unquote blend in, still the Judge Blacks are noticeable. You would just take any random judge and be like, okay, just take off your judge shirt and just put your hoodie back on and just go watch this match. And it was like you were completely invisible.
That's how it works at cons, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. All right. I think that's probably more time than we needed to devote to this. So.
Well, that's what happens when there's anything with the word judge in it and
yep.
here. So.
Yep.
All right.
If
other
only
news.
It were about judging legacy, we would have taken twice as long.
No, we wouldn't, because I'd have cut you off. So, the other big news that happened was that the War of the Spark teaser trailer appeared. Yes. And it was less than a minute long and was really freaking neat.
It has Tybalt. Spoiler alert.
I mean, technically, sure. But
look, when else do I get to say that?
And that's true. But it's really neat, and you should totally go look it up and watch it.
I'm watching it now.
Good for you. I don't want to show
it. As soon as Clues disconnects, we'll know.
But yeah, so that's the thing. You should totally go watch it. It's very, like I said, it's less than a minute long, and it's very symbolic. It's not like, here's this character, and here's another character, and here's some seat. No, it's none of that.
It's the first teaser in a while where it didn't look like they just took cards and made them hit each other with special effects.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And apparently, Wizards contracted a bunch of YouTube content creators to, like, make reaction videos to it. Because...
Is that why there were all of those?
Yeah, and that's why they all came out immediately.
Huh. Yeah, I bet.
So... Yeah, that's dumb.
Welcome
just
to modern marketing.
Yeah, like on everyone's part, that's dumb. On Wizards for coming up with it, on the content creators for going, sure, I'll do that. Mm.
Hey, look, if WotC had contacted me and said that they wanted me to do one and they were going to give me, I don't know, a cookie for it, I would probably do it. I like cookies.
I would have demanded some amount of money.
They would not have gone with you.
Yeah, no. But yeah, the link is in the show notes, of course.
But hey, I have a legitimate reaction to that video.
For free? Sucker.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
That's how far I got. Yeah. Yeah, it was neat. Yep. Go watch it. So, okay. Moving back to more actual news. This is a thing. The Wizards Magic EU account tweeted, as a test across EU regions on 4/27... which is Saturday, all War of the Spark products will be on sale during pre-release. Also, the worldwide release is still on 5/3, so May 3rd. And due to the big mess in London, you know, GP pre-release and all that,
yeah. The
WPN stores in the UK, and I guess IRL means Ireland and not in real life.
It could be both.
Okay, all UK in real life stores will be able to schedule and run a pre-release on April 26th, which is Friday. Now remember, one of the big deals about GP pre-release being dropped out of nowhere is that stores in that area are going to take a big hit on that weekend because no one's going to be in their store to do the pre-release because they're all going to be at the GP.
Yeah.
The Magic Fest.
The GP tournament at the Magic Fest, yes.
Very well.
Jesus Christ, Clues.
Yeah, look, that feeling that you're having right now, I have that feeling every time I think about this. I wanted to share it, so go ahead.
It's still a GP. The tournament, as I've said a million times since that announcement, the tournament itself, this is for all of you out there, not just for Clues. The tournament itself is still the Grand Prix. It's still the Grand Prix!
Yeah, and when I tap a mountain, I add one red to my mana pool.
You do. It just doesn't say that on the card. It actually hasn't said that on the card in years.
I'm just saying that I do add it to my mana pool.
You do. It's still part of the game. It's just not written on the card anymore. It's still a Grand Prix.
And I think of you every time I do.
The whole thing, which you should. The whole thing is the Magic Fest. The tournament is the Grand Prix. Okay? Okay. Now, this is, going back to the actual news at hand and not wanting to stab Clues in his face.
Wait, I'm pretty sure we always want to do that.
But I mean, like, right now.
Like, acutely, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, the Magic Fest itself starts on Friday, but the stuff that happens at a Magic Fest on Friday doesn't really matter. As yeah. Chat is already pointing out, well, it also starts on Friday. Well, yeah, but have you ever been to a GP on Friday compared to the GP on Saturday? there's like an order of magnitude different, a difference in the number of people that are present.
Most of Friday's job is check in, and sometimes there's some side events or win and end type things.
Claim is that the main event is on Friday this time.
Wait, what?
According to the chat, the main event is on Friday this time. There are 4 flights.
Oh, right. One, they did split up over flights. Yeah, at least one of the flights. Like, I think there's the Friday-Saturday version and the Saturday-Sunday version.
Hang on. No. They're all being merged into one big day, too, on Sunday, from what I understand. Hang on. Let me go
Friday,
to...
Friday-Sunday and Saturday-Sunday?
Let's go to... GP pre-release. Here we go. Hang on. I'm consulting last week's Monday Night Magic show notes.
What?
I know, right? That's why I put links in the goddamn show notes. Okay. Running 4 flights to qualify for day 2. There are 2 flights on Friday and 2 flights on Saturday. Each flight is 7 rounds, and every player with 18 points or better continues on to a combined day 2 on Sunday. Huh.
So yeah, half your opportunities to get in on Sunday or on Friday.
That's confusing in and of itself, right?
A little bit.
Look, okay. Everything about this particular event is basically is a word I can't say on Monday Night Magic.
The main concerns that I've seen have been that, like, it's good that they're trying to do something, and maybe due to the timing and options available, they can't do anything that's super helpful. Because having the ability to do pre-releases on a work day is probably not as helpful as what everyone has wanted, which was a week before. But it sounds like they can't logistically do it a week before. So this is what we get.
Yeah. So
that's that.
What I was getting at when I started this whole thing was that this doesn't like alleviate the problem, but at least it's something.
It's an acknowledgement that there is a problem.
Well, without acknowledging it itself, yes. Without explicitly going, yeah, we screwed up and screwed a bunch of stores. Here is a breadcrumb.
Yeah.
But I expect that most of the stores that are affected by this will just replace that night's Friday Night Magic with a pre-release.
Yeah.
In an effort to get anybody in. I can't imagine how many people are going to be in the Friday flights at the actual GP, though.
I mean, if you traveled to London to do it, you're probably already there.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Hey, Magnus just subbed for 17 months. Thanks, buddy. I didn't hear it pop. Did it pop for you guys? I know you two didn't hear it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. No? Huh. Okay, that's weird.
17 months is almost like twinsies.
Almost, yeah. But, yeah, like you said, at least it's something, and it will hopefully give the stores that are able to do it a little bump. Now, the other thing is that they're going to be selling product during the pre-release.
That's more interesting to me.
In the EU regions
only. I was going to say, only there and only during the event that weekend. It's not like they get to just start selling a week early. It's just during the weekend, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like the whole you can pick up your pre-order box at the pre-release, but not on Monday.
Right, which...
Yeah, we know. You ran into that.
I did. I just think that it's dumb.
That's because it's dumb, yeah.
Okay, all right, fair.
The very likely thing going to happen here is, as they said, as they test across the EU regions, they're testing the validity of waiting between the pre-release. Whether or not that was the intent, that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a slow transition to simply having the pre-release becomes the release and there's no longer a week delay because all of digital has it before the pre-release. That entire week of not selling it is kind of weird now by comparison to the Elden days when it was you go to your regional pre-release and then a few weeks later you can actually buy the product at a launch party. Or a release event, or whatever the name was.
And then a few months later, you could play it on Magic Online?
Yeah. Like, now that they've kind of flipped the whole schedule on it, I wouldn't be surprised if they just sort of consolidated it all the way down to... And then there's the release event, which has cool promos or something. But you can also just buy it, because aside from product availability, there's no real reason to wait. And product availability is probably the only reason. They're like, you can get it on the weekend and not just Monday to Friday, because they need the next shipment to come in. So,
possibly.
I don't know.
Pinball Witch has a good idea, so they probably won't do that, but it's a good idea. They'll do a local game store release, and then the week later have the big box release. That would be awesome. I don't see them doing that because it would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Given their track record for the last 4 months or so, yeah. No.
I think it might be the opposite of that, in fact.
Yeah, they might give Walmart and Amazon week early release.
They'll probably sell it themselves via the internet, like they already have announced that they do, before they give it to anyone else, if they're going to start doing weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they're now directly selling to you. None of this has been said.
Wizards isn't directly selling to anybody.
They're gonna.
Except for the Mythic Edition thing. Right?
No. They sell product now.
Where?
Was it Amazon or eBay? I don't remember which. Yeah, sorry, Hasbro is selling product now.
Right.
But...
That was only for Mythic Edition. That wasn't like a thing that they're doing.
No, I thought that was a thing that they're doing.
Is it?
I thought that was the point. Like, the Mythic was the test run, and now they just do it.
I don't know. Somebody feel free to look into that, because that...
Yeah.
That would have rung bells for me at the time, and I don't remember those bells being rung. But anyway, this is another thing we spent way longer on than we should have.
Yeah, that's fair. Carry on.
All right, so here is a strange announcement from today that has caused lots of speculation from people that don't know, ourselves included.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer doing manufacturers' suggested retail prices on Magic products.
Yep.
They say they're making this change to streamline their communications around new products. And I don't understand that statement, but... MSRPs are not favored in many parts of the world, which has led to some confusion among our global player base. Which, wasn't it one of you that said that MSRPs weren't a thing in... Was it one of you guys, or did I read that somewhere? I must have read that somewhere. They're not a thing in other parts of the world, I forget which.
Could be. I mean, MSRPs don't mean anything now, so...
Correct, yeah. But this I don't understand. He says, this isn't some big disruption to our products or the company. Probably true. We believe that the elimination of MSRP will simply help us communicate better to our players and the places where those players shop. How is less information going to be better communication?
I
would love to know how an MSRP was leading to confusion among global players.
It's not. Like, first of all, they put different packaging on stuff abroad. So if that was the concern, they just stopped putting MSRP on that. Second, if you're seeing MSRP and you're confused by it, it's like, well, I don't have American dollars, so clearly this doesn't apply to me. Like... If you're used to seeing MSRP and everything else that gets sold, then it doesn't really matter. Like, really and truly, this is just them going, we're tired of putting MSRP on stuff. And, like, I'm not overly bothered by it. My only real concerns were things that are hard to find out more about, like, does this impact what happens when it ends up in big box stores? Because they presumably are selling at MSRP or close to it. Does this matter when we get brand new products that aren't just more packs? Because then we don't know how much they cost. Considering they were really bad at giving us MSRP on products whenever they would actually come out and we would have to dig out to the announcements, maybe they just got tired of having to dig out the announcements. I don't know.
Yeah, they got tired of people going, hey, why don't you put the MSRP every time you list things about this product? Because they weren't doing it. But it's not like now they don't have to do it because they already weren't doing it.
Yeah.
So, This is going to screw up the what you guys see, but sorry, that can't be helped. We're going to go over here to the Monday Night Magic page where Mr. Kim Ho had some ideas that I just want to read off because these sound pretty good. It says, MSRP hasn't increased in over 10 years, which, as far as packs go, we looked, it was 06 was the last time they increased to $3.99. Okay? Okay. Apparently, the price for LGSs to buy them from the distributors has gone up over the years. But the MSRP hasn't. So the local game stores are essentially just eating that price increase. So, you know.
You might want to minimize your Discord window.
I can't. I have to read it.
Ha, sucker.
That's where I'm reading this from.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny. It looks really funny on the screen.
Yeah, like I said, I apologize for how this looks, but it's the only way I can read this. Unless one of you two wants to go run over this real quick, but... He also points out that enfranchised players don't buy booster packs. Which, not... as much, but franchise players buy singles more than they buy booster packs.
I don't know that that's true. I mean they're more likely to buy singles.
Don't buy boxes.
Sure, but I also know a lot of people that buy packs like they're drugs still, and I would also consider them enfranchised.
Okay, maybe enfranchised is the wrong word.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, like, the main thing that people are complaining about is, well, now local game stores will just be able to charge whatever the hell they want. Look, they still have a price that they are paying to the distributors, and they're going to mark it up something similar. You might see a small price increase at your local game store. Do not lose your mind about this, because they've got to make money somewhere.
Chances are that it should have been raised long ago, but they felt they couldn't because of the MSRP.
Right.
Because their costs on the back end were going up. Strangely, I do have a question that I don't know the answer to, and I don't know that anyone in this call or in the chat will necessarily know the answer to this. Were stores required to sell packs at least the MSRP for new sets?
I hope not, because mine didn't.
Okay. Well, there's some data right there that indicates that.
It's anecdotal, but like the store that was near my parents' house when I first got into Magic, when I would go there when I'd come back home from college, and the guy there sold packs like 7 for $20, and that's definitely under MSRP, and that's part of why I bought so much Magic at that point. But like they just sell it for whatever they want, just like how when the various master sets would come out, the individual packs weren't usually sitting at the MSRP price; they'd be at whatever they wanted it to be.
Right. So I wonder if psychologically this will hurt LGSs more than the big guys. And the reason I say that is the larger a company is, the smaller the profit margin they can have on any single item and still do okay.
Yeah.
And so your local game store is still going to have packs, you know, with a reasonable markup from what their back end cost is. Whereas some larger retailers who shall remain nameless could probably sell them basically at cost and be fine because of all the other business that goes along with it.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. Maybe that's just the cynic in me worrying too much. I don't know.
I don't know. But obviously there are a lot of potential changes that this could have, and we don't know what those are because we just don't. So for all the people that sound like they're doomsaying and know what they're talking about, they almost certainly don't. That doesn't mean they're wrong. They could be, but they also might not be.
Have that data yet.
And they're just talking. So
yeah.
Oh, Jay Spencer says Walmart near him sells packs for over MSRP. Well, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Also, just as a side note, because I looked, Magic the Gathering is on Amazon directly selling packs and boxes. So, yeah. Oh, and that's so really them because they linked to it from Ravnica Allegiance page. In fact, before you even get to any set information, it's shop now at Amazon.com.
Ooh, that's not good.
So, yeah.
Ravnica Allegiance. Let's go look at this. Boom. Oh, yeah, right there. Look at that. Front and center. Damn.
Yeah. You get to it before you can actually see any information about the set.
Huh.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they announced this, like, in the fall.
Yeah, I remember us talking about it at the time and saying that it really sucked for LGSs.
I think I was getting it confused with the Hasbro shop on eBay, which was just for the Mythic Edition, not for normal Magic
stuff. Yeah, I guess they used the eBay thing for that special thing, but Amazon is just where you can go to buy it directly from them now. So, yeah.
Okay, then. So, let's move on. Okay. Actually, the only thing left is tournament stuff, right?
What? They still do those?
Tournaments!
Wait, is that everything?
Yeah.
How have we been going for almost an hour on those, like, four little things? What is wrong with
us? Because we're us.
Oh, there is one other thing. Nexus of Fate is banned in Best of One in Arena.
Oh, you're right. Time. Gotcha.
That was a time joke.
Is that how time works?
I don't think so.
When it works, lazy concept.
My understanding is that it keeps on slipping into the future.
So World Forger in the chat is saying that he's got to pay $6 per pack. Where the hell do you shop? Because that's...
Apparently in Michigan.
Yeah, if you want to name names, go right ahead.
Like, that's in... Like, there's a difference between a little over MSRP to recoup some of your back end and 1.5 MSRP.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's both big name and LGS? Big box store? Really? What the hell is wrong with Michigan?
Well, I mean, if the big box store is selling for that, I don't exactly expect the local game store to undercut it.
Do you think suddenly they would there's the if monopoly. They wanted people to come in? Or maybe not. Anyway, okay, moving on. That's weird. All right, so let's do some Grand Prix stuff. So, Strasbourg happened, and it's limited.
Nice. Yep.
So,
1,615 humans.
How many? Oh, 1,616. Okay.
1,615.
This is 1,616 on right here on screen.
Maybe one of them died. I don't know.
Or was
1,615 was what I pulled out of the standings. So, who knows?
Weird. Okay, then. So it looks like, damn it, European GPs. How?
It's all you.
How do you say either of these person, this guy's names? Yves Sillet? Maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, well, he won.
Look, adjust your expectations accordingly. We don't have a track record of getting these things right.
Of course, we don't have like a top eight exactly.
Yeah, but we can figure it out again from the pairings.
Second place was Cheng Kyum Kim.
Right.
Third and fourth were Raph Levy and Francisco Hugany in some order.
In reverse order. The
I am not doing
seed.
Work to read off look, who's in look, the damn look. Top eight.
This is not for you. This is for the people who are listening. if you want to look at the semifinals and you want to figure out which one came in fourth or which one came in third and which one came in fourth, look at whoever was the higher seed back in the round of eight. That person was third. The lower seed was the person who was fourth.
As I said, for the purposes of all things, third and fourth are exactly the same. So, points, payout, all of that. It's exactly the same. So, fifth through eighth, in no particular order, were Elias Clocker. Hang on. Philip Jelaska, Laurent Bailey, and Pascal Vierin. In not at all that order.
Nope.
If they're not going to bother to give me a top eight, then clearly it doesn't matter. So I'm not going to figure it out.
Well, it was Bailey, Clocker, Vierin, and Jelaska.
Clues, I will kick you from the call.
Well, then I will go play Destiny 2.
But it was a limited event, so deck lists don't matter. And you can tell, because if you click on top eight deck lists, you get...
Please tell me you're showing that on the screen now.
You get pictures of their stream. You get pictures of their deck in arena. I'm impressed that they can shuffle decks that big. Do what?
I'm impressed that they can shuffle decks that big.
Right?
Like, that's a challenge, especially when you have ghost hands. Because these were quickie variations of a green screen.
Well, I mean, these aren't a green screen. They clearly cut these guys out manually. You can tell. Well, you can't on the screen. But if you look at Pascal Vierin, you can see on the left side of his head.
Go back to the previous one. There's a neat little bit on his shoulder.
On his head, yeah. It was, right there and right here in his head where there's a hoo-ha! And they just didn't fix it. Yeah.
I mean, my favorite is Laurent Bailey for having a ghost hand. Because they just did a low opacity trick. You can see through his hand in front of the green card.
You can?
In front of the green card, yeah. You can read the text.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I'm not seeing that.
Is hit the finger on his left hand? Oh, you can't see where my pointer is. Never mind.
Hang on, can I open image? I can't open this image. Oh, because Google.
Does that look solid to you? Weird.
Is it not solid?
No, not even in the stream is it solid. You can see right through
really
his pointing
closely,
finger.
Look at his index finger. You can read the word creatures through it.
I don't think you can. I think that's actually shadow on his finger that is lining up with that.
What really looks like creatures to me.
That's because your brain is filling it in.
There's like, a non-zero
chance. If you actually blow it up on your screen and zoom in and look at it.
You know, I think Chewie might be right. Now that I've got it bigger.
Yeah, I think it's just... Like, the shadows on his finger just happened to line up with the text.
Happened to line up with the lines of text. Yeah. I think you're right.
All
right.
Well.
That's weird. I'm still going to pretend that he's the Flash.
Well, he is. I mean, Professor Zoom, are you watching? He's totally not. Anyway. I see what... Now that I'm, like, leaning back, I can see why you would think that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, once I made it bigger to look at what you were seeing, it made more sense. Because I was looking at it smaller.
I was trying to open this in its own tab and zoom in, but it won't let me because Google.
That's not how
I
Twitter
mean, because Twitter.
Work. Yeah.
Anyway, well, while we're showing it, here's the other guys. Wow, yeah, this is a heck job. Look at the top of Kim Chang Kyum's head here.
Yeah.
But
a magic.
This was a quick and dirty, you know, get it out
like,
there.
I fully acknowledge that this wasn't a studio shoot where we should actually be this critical. I'm just entertained by it.
Well, I mean, I know, I can tell that this is quick and dirty because I spend way too long when I make YouTube thumbnails and I have to cut something out. I spend way too long cutting out crap like that. So I know how long it takes if you're trying to do it right. And clearly
you find yourself
no reason.
Secretly hoping that no one with curly hair ever matters.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But like, there's no reason for them to spend that long on it just for this. No. So
because they're posting it on Twitter before the top eight starts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, which is fine.
Totally fine. So yeah, let's go to the other one, which is Event/3. I mean, Memphis.
Codename Event/3.
I can't wait for that URL to bite them in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't see it on the screen. But
I give it 7.
The URL is coverage.channelfireball.com/event/3. And that's Memphis.
Yep.
But, there were 988. Is that the number you came up with?
Yep.
Okay, because that's what it says right here.
Yeah.
And Jody Keith won. Playing, these aren't in order. Jody Keith is playing.
Well, hey, you look at the decks. I'll tell you what order they're in because I can apparently figure out their cipher.
Okay, so Jody Keith is playing Rakdos Midrange to win. Midrange with Darfleet, Daredevil, and Chainwhirler? Oh, Rekindling Phoenix. Okay. Siege Game Commanders. What?
Okay, I approve.
Karn. That's really, it's Karn is how you know it's midrange, because you don't play Karn in aggro.
No. This Karn costs 4. That's still a lot for aggro.
The Eldest Reborn? Treasure Map? Wow, okay. There's an Angrath in the board? What? I love this deck.
I respect that.
Okay, so who's in second then, Mr.
Cypher? Second place was Corey Burkhart.
Corey Burkhart's up here. I saw him already. Here he is. He's playing Sultai Midrange, which is the deck you would expect. It's got a Chupa thingy, so that's how you know it's good. Also, the, you know, 4 Hydroid Krasis. Sort of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
All right, next.
In third place was Nehuen Jara Godoy? Godoy? You've got enough of the name to figure it out from here.
Yes, this person is playing another Sultai Midrange.
Yep.
Has 2 Chupa thingies, so it's twice as good.
Twice as many Chupa thingies.
Poor goats.
2x Chupa thingy. All right, next.
Shota Takao?
Ah, there he is. Gruul Midrange. All right, what's in here? Is there Karn? There is no Karn. All right, what do we have? Daredevil, Chain Whirler, of course, Growth Chamber Guardian, Spellbreaker, that's a good card.
Yeah.
Kindling Phoenix, Siege Gang Commander again, and Zertog Goblin.
Nice. Okay.
Collision Colossus, Lava Coil, Lightning Strike Shock, all right. Nice bunch of burn and stuff. I don't know what Collision Colossus does. 6 damage to target creature with flying, or creature gets +4/+2 and trample. Ah, okay, cool. That's even harder to do on this screen. Look how tiny that auto card is.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller.
What is this, auto card for ants?
Could be. Or Tess.
Squee, I will kick you off this call.
Thank
it
you.
Would be justified. But I thought Clues deserved it.
I appreciate it.
All right, who's next?
This would be fifth place, Kenta Harane. Harane.
You were right the first time.
Harane.
Okay, all right, great.
He's playing Simic Nexus, so only 2 Hydroid Krasis, and then a whole lot of nonsense, including Nexus of Fate, Search for Ezkanta. Yeah, this deck.
It shows up as Nexus of Fate, -foil- buy a box promo.
Yeah.
Or I guess those are N-dashes, but whatever, it's funny.
Don't start on the N-dashes and M-dashes thing.
That's fair.
All right, next.
I just think it's funny because they're obviously pulling it out of the store, so it has to just display that way.
Next would be sixth place, Ellie Loveman.
Could be Ellie, could be Eli. We don't know.
Yeah, could be either. I don't know. I just took a stab at it.
Mono white aggro. Yeah, this is the Boros aggro without that one red card.
Yeah.
So it's mono white, because there's only one red card. Okay.
Well.
Seventh place, Steven Rubin.
Steve Rubin is running mono blue tempo. Yeah, this is the... See, here it's mono blue tempo. In other places, it's mono blue aggro. I don't know if there are cards difference, because I don't care that much. It's running 4 Tempest Gen and 4 Terramanders. What else do you need to know?
Ugh.
And 20 Island. All right, so who is the last place here?
In 8th place was Toro Inoue. Inoue.
Yeah.
And this is also Mono Blue Tempo. Land base is 19 islands. Holy crap. Look at that.
Aggro control.
Wow. 19 islands. Even burn decks run 20, dude. The white weenie deck is running 20. Wow, that's ballsy.
It curves out at 3.
Do what?
Curves out at 3.
Yeah, and that's for the Tempest Gen, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it can afford to do that. I imagine the entrancing melody in the board is for very specific cheat problems.
Almost certainly, yeah. Huh. All right, so there's your top 8 at GP Memphis.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Now, we did get a... Yeah, we did get a metagame breakdown. Let's go see what's going on here. There were 38 Sultai midrange decks out of 193 in Day 2. 28 of the Mono Blue decks. Whew! 24 Esper Control. 19 Azorius Aggro, which is White Weenie with a couple of blue cards. 16 Izzet Drakes. 11 Simic Nexus. 9 of the 4 color gates. And then, because Clues is here, 7 Mono Red Aggro.
Yes!
And then it drops down to 4 and less of all these others.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, then. Wow. 43% of the meta in Day 2 was aggro. Look at this. 29 was mid-range, 13 was control, and then 13 was Nexus, which is its own archetype, and then 4 were Reclamation, or I mean 4 decks, 2% were Reclamation, which apparently gets its own
evidently
archetype for some reason. But I mean, Wilderness Reclamation is... Yeah, okay. It's going to be in combo decks of some sort, so sure.
Yeah. All right, then.
So there's your GP Memphis coverage.
Yep.
And one more thing? Well, a couple more things.
One more.
We've got the FAQ for the first Mythic Championship in Cleveland. Which is next weekend, this coming weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Twitch, of course. Here's your coverage, people. But the formats. Remember, this is the same weekend as the GP. No, wait. No, that's London. Never mind.
Yeah, London's a bit away.
Wow, time is hard. This is how time works. You remember before the show I was saying, oh, it's going to be Ravnica Allegiance? Why would they not use the new stuff? Because that's still 2 months away, idiot.
The pre-release.
So, yeah, okay. It's standard and Ravnica Allegiance booster draft, duh. And then... What do you mean? The top 8 will use traditional single elimination bracket. Ooh, all playoff matches will be 3 out of 5. Oh. The first 2 games are pre-sideboard. Okay. And it even says, while there are no time limits in the playoff rounds, players are expected to play at a reasonable pace.
That is always true.
Yeah, why is that here?
I think because they have to say it.
Just so that the vocal idiot minority won't look at this and be like, oh, so it's just going to take forever? Because those people would...
I think that's exactly the tone they would use.
It is, too. You know that SpongeBob where he's got his hands on his hips and his nose is all messed up, you know?
Yeah.
That, yeah.
The thing that prompts people to type like they have a broken caps lock?
Yeah, yeah. All right, and then for the first game of each match in the playoff rounds, the player who finished higher in the Swiss rounds will choose to either play first or second, and then it goes the usual play draw. Okay.
Yeah.
So really, it's 3 out of 5, and the first 2 games are pre-sideboard, is really the important bit here.
Yeah.
Got it. And then it's in Cleveland, and here's the massive $500,000 playoff. And, yeah. Or $500,000 prize pool. I read the word playoff up here and screwed me up.
Mm.
So there you go. Start watching on Friday. Yay. For the very first Mythic Championship, which is really the gazillionth Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And people are still getting confused. Apparently, some official Wizards account called it the Mythic Invitational and had to delete that tweet and try again. Because even those people are confused by all the name changes. So if you're still not clear that Mythic Championship is Pro Tour and Mythic Invitational is another thing entirely, don't worry, they are too.
So, like, how many people realistically qualify for this thing?
Some 500 players.
Yeah, well, I'm asking because when you were scrolling over it, I noticed the assumes 500 players prize is subject to change. I'm like, you should know how many people are in, right? Like, it's not like a who feels like showing up kind of event.
Yeah, I think this is just lifted straight from
the old template.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight from the page where they announced these things.
Probably. I think. Yeah, it's just weird when you see things like that. I'm like, is this for people to show up now? Like, I thought this was broken down. But, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
They copy-pasted.
All right. So, one more thing that we probably should have mentioned before the tournaments is that, hey, the War of the Spark novel is up for pre-order.
And yeah.
If you fill out some following information, you can get an exclusive art print signed by Greg Weissman and Magali Villeneuve. I don't know how to say her name. But her name.
But better than I did.
I don't know what that art print is. Presumably it's the cover here. I don't know. But, sure. And since everyone's losing their mind, yes, the main character is this name right here. Teo Virata. And assuming that is this person right here. Because Gideon, Chandra, who's the... Kaya... It's like, who's the ghost assassin? I forgot her name. Other. And so Other is presumably Teo Virata.
Presumably.
But I know lots of nerds were losing their mind over that. So, hey, there you go. Oh, and Bolas. Don't forget, that's the Snickle Bolas, right?
The actual main character of Magic.
Yeah.
At the end of the book, can we get an epilogue, kind of like a post-credit scene of just Sorin still stuck in a wall?
You mean like the stinger after the credits? Yeah, I think right. Halfway through the credits when they have to hype the next thing, then we'll get something a little more meaty. But then at the very end, Soren's like, still here, guys. Help me.
Anybody?
Yeah, he's just like, he's got the frozen carbonite pose and he like lifts his head up and goes and tries to shrug. And then it cuts back to black.
Bring cool a chisel.
I tried to planeswalk, but it turns out you need to walk to do it. Why can't all vampires turn into bats? This is terrible. And he tells some dad jokes, because that's what Soren is now.
Wow.
He's furniture.
So, all right, so shall we wrap this up then?
Yes. Yeah, because I had nothing for Magic Online. So cool. Wrapping up, you can find me on Twitter at SweeGoblinNabob. There is no I in Goblin because it's also frozen in carbonite on the plane of Innistrad, and it's directly across from Soren, and it's really tired of his whining. But what's it going to do? It's stuck there. For the rest of me, though, I am pretty much just chilling right now. Like, I've been watching a lot of movies. There's a lot more movies coming out. Like, I haven't seen Alita yet because my people who want to see Alita all went to a convention last weekend, so I'm like, fine, I'll see it on Friday. So I'm going to see it, but the reviews have actually been good and people are liking it, so I will have some hope. Could be cool. I did see the second Lego movie recently, though, and that was fun. I enjoyed it. My favorite thing about it was the fact that it acknowledged all of the shortcomings of the first Lego movie, which was also a great movie, but it had flaws. And they pretty much just go out of their way to make fun of all the flaws in the first Lego movie while continuing on with crazy pop music and fun. So check it out. If you enjoy the first one, you'll probably enjoy the second. I'm ignoring the other Lego movies for this statement. There have been four. And yeah, past that, looking forward to Captain Marvel still. So should be cool. Go Clues.
All right. Hey, if you want to get in touch with me, best bet is the Twitters. I'm at @LockLuse, spelled just like it is, in the show notes, which are back, baby. They're back. And that's exciting.
To be fair, your name was always spelled like it is in the show notes in the YouTube description.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So spelled just like it is in the YouTube description. I haven't done anything exciting or seen anything exciting. Pretty boring.
Have you been exciting?
No.
Did you buy discount chocolate?
No, I didn't. I failed in that. I'm sorry.
Have you been excited?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Well, piss.
I've just been so very tired. But that's okay. I too am looking forward to Captain Marvel. I'm definitely going to see it opening weekend. That's what I'll say.
Ooh.
Now that I've said that out loud, it's not going to happen. You realize that, right?
You fool. Okay, good. You've already bought tickets when you said it.
Yeah, I should have. I should have, but I didn't. I don't know. Anyway, I guess that's it for me. Yes, that's it for me. Chewie, take it away.
Where am I taking it?
Away.
Ah. Yes, well, like away from the things of man?
Uh-huh.
No? Carry on. Okay. Sorry.
I went with a different reference.
I really want to see Joe versus the Volcano again, so.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what's going on with me. Just streaming and YouTubing is what's going on with me.
It's what you do.
It is in the last, I guess, week. Let's see. Let me go consult
the Oracle.
I was going to say the Book of Armaments, but that too. The Oracle at Delphi. Yeah. Let's see. I streamed some Super Metroid, which was awesome. Not sure how good that translates to YouTube, but I streamed it for about, 3.5 hours?
Neat.
I'll be finishing that at some point soon. I streamed some Hearthstone. I had an excellent Hearthstone stream for the first time since the last round of nerfs. And it was a lot of fun. And I played more Hand of Fate, which is the roguelike game with... You all right, Bill?
I was seeing if my hand had any fate in it.
Oh, okay. It's a roguelike game where there are occasional Arkham-style combat sections that is a lot of fun, and I'm up at the end, so it's very hard and stressful and borderline unfair, and I love it and I hate it.
Roguelike.
Yeah. Like, it's been a breeze. And then it wasn't anymore. I actually died for the first time on stream, and I was like, what? I'm supposed to die in this game? What the hell?
Eh.
But it's a lot of fun, so those runs will be going up on YouTube at some point in the future. Speaking of YouTube, what's going up right now is some Slay the Spire, a lot of Smash Brothers World of Light. Some of that Hearthstone stream will be going up in the next few days. I recorded more Hand of Fate, obviously. So, yeah. Bunch of stuff going up on the YouTubes.
Plurality. Pizza.
Toopza.
All hail the Zalord.
Take off every za.
Moves-a. You know what you order. Togo get a za. Ta-ta. Carry on.
Wow.
Dude, you know this is what I do.
That is what he do. All right. So, if you would like to help support what I do with all of this podcast, I did not do the Manipool last week for various reasons, one of which was it was recording on Valentine's Day. So instead, Mike and I hung out, and we went and got Mexican food, and then we went and got ice cream, and then we came back and played some two-player games, NES games on the Switch, and we had a good little date, and we took a selfie to send to his girlfriend.
Oh.
It was a good day to not record the Manipool and instead have a Valentine's Day date with Mike. Yeah.
I thought of a thing.
Oh, did you?
I did. I thought of a thing as I was sitting here listening to your outro. There is something, I'm going to call it semi-exciting. If you're listening to this stream live, be sure to go outside immediately after the stream is over and take a look at the moon. It is a super moon today.
Really?
Yeah, it's only slightly bigger than a normal moon. It doesn't really mean anything, but it's kind of exciting. But yeah, I'm pretty sure today's a super moon. So go check that out.
All of those Facebook and Twitter posts you see, people like, the moon will be like 40% bigger, are idiots.
Lies.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Lies.
The actual difference.
The moon's way bigger. It just moves away, so it looks the same.
It will be 2019's biggest supermoon, I think, so...
Shut up, Squee.
Aliens.
I'm not saying it was aliens. But I have been watching X-Files,
It's
probably aliens, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm actually in the season with Doggett now. Mm-hmm. And the last episode I watched was the one where they introduced Monica Reyes.
Oh, so, wow, you're just making your way through there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's getting towards the end of the original run. And it's still entertaining. Like,
that's good.
I thought the reason I stopped watching when I did the first time I tried to watch the X-Files, I made it up to the point where the movie happens. And then it took me a couple months to track down the movie and watch it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't care to start up the show again because I looked and I'm like, next couple seasons are going to lose Mulder and it's going to... I don't even want to. But I'm surprisingly still invested even though there's no Mulder. Like, they did Doggett really well.
I think Doggett's probably a character I would have appreciated more if I hadn't been like a jaded nerd at the time who, you know, hated change.
Yeah, not my Mulder, not my show. Yeah.
I mean, like, I wasn't even that hooked on Mulder. It was just such a fundamental shift in the format that I didn't like it. Admittedly, Fox was also ruining everything they touched at the moment, so it could have been collateral damage.
That was a good point, yeah. But, yeah, John Doggett is amazingly likable. And it was really easy for them to write him in such a way that everyone would just hate him. But
yeah.
I don't hate him. I kind of like him. I kind of wish we'd had him sooner, honestly.
Fair.
So, yeah. Plus, it's Robert Patrick. But anyway, this is not the X-Files cast. This is Monday Night X-Files. Not Monday Night X-Files. I'm also watching The Blacklist.
Do not confuse the two.
I almost did once.
Almost.
There was a guy smoking a cigarette, and I was like, aha! Wait, no, this... Hang on. Wrong show. Sure. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I'm doing in my spare time is playing Smash Brothers, the Spirit Board. I haven't played today because I had a drive. Just last night, I unlocked the challenge, essentially an achievement, for having 777 spirits. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's still fun and addicting. And I'm really enjoying doing the editing for the YouTube videos, which is weird. Because, like, I'm looking forward to editing the next one. I actually edited, like, 3 in a row not long ago because I really wanted to see what happened next, even though I'm the one who played them. So that's a good sign.
Yeah?
Yeah. But okay, so that's that. If you want to help support what I do with this ridiculous amount of content creation, as I started to say earlier, you can go to patreon.com/themanapool and become a lifeguard. Yeah. There are various tiers of lifeguards. The uncommon lifeguards get... What in the hell is going on up there? Are you guys hearing that?
No.
No. You just look crazy. Headset off. What?
No, you just look crazy.
Okay, I'm so glad that you guys aren't hearing that. I've been doing this the whole show, is just randomly looking up and making a face, because I don't know if they got a new dog or what, but it's just insane up there this tonight. Anyway, what was I saying before that was loud and scared me? Oh!
Silver.
Silver, right. Uncommon lifeguards get a silver name in the Manipool Discord server, which you should totally join the Manipool Discord server if you have Discord. And if you play Arena, you should have Discord. And then you should join the Manipool Discord server. Huh? Now I forgot what I was saying. Right, they get the silver name in the Discord server. And they get early access to YouTube videos and Manipool episodes. The rare lifeguards get a gold name in the Discord server and also get the odds and ends. More on the odds and ends in just a second. But it's all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool. It's uncensored and unfiltered. And the mythic lifeguards get the sponsorship shout-out on both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos, as well as the early stuff and the odds and ends. Now, I would like to thank our mythic lifeguards, because that's part of what they get. So our mythic lifeguards are Kim Ho, Al, Paul David, Lens Delicious, Timu Helizharyu, who refuses to let me call him by his handle because I think he enjoys my torture trying to say his name. Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bertain. Nope, Sophia Bertain. Excuse me. The name hasn't been changed in here, but I'm supposed to say a different name. Casey, almost did it again. Fayan Says. There we go. Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Pat Gothic Man. There we go. I really need to make a separate list of the names I'm supposed to read so this doesn't happen when I'm distracted.
Probably.
Okay, that was Gothic. Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, chat. Go for it. Keith Moody, John Parker, Aleph Cat, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Apologies for the screwed up and almost screwed up name calls there. My bad. So, yeah, that's that. Now, about the odds and ends, and also YouTube videos. For a while now, I've been doing 2 YouTube videos a day, every day, but that's going to pause for a few days because I have other stuff I have to do, and I'm not doing it because I'm doing 2 YouTube videos a day. So, starting probably Thursday, possibly Wednesday, I'm going to cut it back to 1 video a day until I get caught up on the odds and ends, because I still haven't gotten any of those posted yet this entire freaking year. And
that was a fair goal.
Yeah, like, that's awful. And I have other personal things that I just got to do that I'm just not doing. So I'm going to get a video a day up. I'm going to try to get, like, 2 or 3 videos, which I guess technically I am. Oh, no, those aren't done yet. They're on the list because that's what I was going to do next. Whoops, I've got my schedule over here, and I write stuff in, and then I check it off when it's done. So, yeah, I'm going to try to do 2 or 3 more videos to get up through the weekend and then spend a couple days getting life caught up because I'm falling behind on way too many things. So I'll go back to 2 YouTube videos a day whenever I'm caught up on other stuff and I have that many things to turn into videos, which at the moment I'm actually getting caught up pretty quickly, so I'm running out. So yeah, there you go. Just a quick update on the video content. But with that, I think we're done, right?
I think so.
Seems that way to me.
All right. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 641. Right? Yeah. Thank you all so very much for listening. And go play some magic.